Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each week at wdiy.org. Today is October 15th, 2014. The markets were down today. The Dow closing at 16,141, the NASDAQ at 4215, and the S&P at 1862. Last week, we talked about charitable giving, and we also had our pledge drive. And I want to thank my listeners in particular for coming through for us during Your Financial Choices last week. I was able to meet the challenge and write a check when I left at the end of the night. So thank you very much, listeners. I'm very proud of you. The Dow, as I said, closed down today at 16,141, the NASDAQ at 4215, and the S&P at 1862. Seems to get everyone in a panic, but it's interesting to me because I always look back at old shows, and I think back in January, the market was 15,000 something. It was under 16,000, and everyone seemed to be, you know, happy with it then. So it's amazing to me the reaction we get when it takes this little correction. Well, not a little, but a correction. So it is what it is. Last week, again, we had our show on charitable giving. Tonight, we're talking about car buying and decisions that go into it. And I'm talking buying, leasing, new or old, safety or economy. It's one of the biggest purchases we all make and maybe the biggest purchase for a lot of people. I have been wanting to do a show on this for years, so I'm very excited to do this tonight. We are live, so if you have questions, you can call in. The number is 610-758-8810. Judy Ann is in the studio. She will take your calls, ask you to mute your phone, mute your radio, so that we can talk without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can call, still call and ask a question if it's off topic, and I'll do the best I can to answer them. Again, that number is 610-758-8810. Questions could be live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Judy Ann. She'll write it down, bring it into the studio, and give it to us. And you can also send questions through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. And I am lucky tonight to have a guest because I know nothing about cars, which is why I'm so excited to talk about this. And I have with me this evening Donato Ciampitello from Knopf Automotive. Welcome to the show, Donato.
Thanks, Lori.
I kind of, sandbagged you maybe. I ran into Donato. I was impressed with his personality and his knowledge. And I said, hey, I have always wanted to do a radio show on this. And said, hey, would you be interested? And
absolutely. I'm extremely happy to be here right now. And I'm glad that you don't know too much about the car business because that's my expertise. And if you knew everything, then I guess it wouldn't be a reason for me to be here.
That's right. Well, tell, how did you get involved in that?
I work at Knopf Automotive right now. We represent Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, and Audi. It's a great place. I've been in the business for about 16 years. I got into it at the end of 18 years old. I walked in to a dealership for a parts job van, and I walked out with a sales job.
Wow.
Go figure.
Yeah,
right? It just happened. And I've been loving it and passionate about it ever since.
Well, you have to love people, too, as well, because I know I've had retail background, and it helps to like people, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Every day is a new challenge, and every day is a new story that you open up and you read, because you meet new people. Everyone's different. Yeah. You know, some good, some bad, you know, as long as everything works out at the end, you know, it's enjoyable to do.
And there's so many options in car buying, and, you know, interestingly, I think, you know, I've been seeing commercials lately where they talk about, you know, how you can get informed about cars and car buying. So I think that you should be able to do that as well with our local businesses, because I am a full supporter of our local businesses.
Absolutely.
And Automotive is on the Lehigh
Auto Mile
is what we call it. So, again, wanted to do a show on this for a long time. And being that it's one of the largest purchases outside of home buying for a lot of people, I thought that we could cover some of the factors that go into making a good buying decision.
Absolutely.
In an auto purchase. So people can buy new, people can buy used, which now they call pre-owned. So we can buy new, we can buy pre-owned, or we can decide to lease in lieu of buying. So I want to start with buying a new car. And from the salesperson's perspective, how does one know how much they can afford? So if I walk in to any dealership, and we're not talking just about the luxury automotives that you sell, but any kind of car, do the salespeople know how much someone can afford, or do you rely on the buyer to come in and know that, or do you have calculators? I was just curious, because we have, you know, so many calculators in financial planning now.
Absolutely.
People do so much online, like, you know, oh, can I afford to retire and all of that with calculators. And I think there's a lot more that goes into that. Is there a lot more that goes into purchasing a new car as well? So how do you first help someone know that, or are you relying on them to know how much they can afford when they walk in?
Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, car buying, it's not fun, you know, unless you deal with me. I make it fun. I make it easy. But see, sometimes because it is such a large purchase, it makes people feel nervous. Mm-hmm. And with all the right tools and knowledge, if you take your time and you meet the right person to spend your money with, then everything comes easy. Mm-hmm. Okay. As far as learning how much you can afford, you know, before anyone starts looking at vehicles, they have to put a budget in place. So, you know, let's try to figure out everyone's budget, because everyone's budget is different. Lenders like to be around 10 to 15% of people's income. So you have to kind of put that as kind of like a debt to income ratio, and whether how much of a car you can actually afford.
Okay.
I would like to have, you know, I would tell my clients to take their net income minus all their expenses monthly, after savings and play money, of course. Everybody needs play money.
Okay.
Right? You see what's left, and then you decide how much of that you want to part with for your next vehicle.
Okay.
Because everybody's wants and needs are different. You know, some people can spend a little bit extra because they don't have that high mortgage payment or high rent payment, or they're living with relatives.
Mm-hmm.
So they can splurge a little bit more than other people.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody knows your budget better than the individual himself.
Mm-hmm.
So you just ask pre-qualifying questions like, have you ever financed a car before? You know, like that. You know, what's your payment now? Because if you have a current payment and you're comfortable paying that, you kind of want to stick close to that, unless something changed in your lifestyle where you're making a lot more money now.
Mm-hmm. That's a good rule,
you know,
of thumb.
It is. And it's hard for new buyers because they never had a payment before. And, you know, they're uneducated and they don't think about other costs that come with just a payment.
Right, like the repairs or insurance and
exactly.
things like that. So
exactly.
you want to kind of talk to them, make sure that they, you know, have they called their insurance agent?
Yeah,
do they know what this
absolutely.
Is going to be?
Like things like that, you know, because driving is a privilege. It's not, you know, it's something that you have to pay for to have,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all according to how much you can spend is how much of a nice car you can get,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And, you know, some people, one thing I've told folks sometimes too, if you don't currently have a car payment and you think you'd like to buy a car and you have an idea of what that's going to cost, and let's say you think, well, gosh, if I got a new car, whether it's used or you know, a new or pre-owned, and you might have a loan, if you think it's going to cost you $300 a month, for a while you could try for a few months seeing if you can afford that $300 a month before you go into buying
That's
the car.
That's a good idea.
And then if you were able to swing it, then you might feel like you're in a better position to be able to go do that. And then you have some of the money for the down payment.
Absolutely.
Which would help with that. Now, the other thing that I'm always curious about when, you know what, I'm curious, I'm forgetting I have to take breaks. And we're already up to our first break. And
already?
So we're going to have to wait for that question that I'm curious about. Folks, if you have questions, we have a guest in the studio to help answer those about car buying. It's going to be a fun show. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I'm your host, Lori Siebert, and I have in the studio with me this evening Donato Ciampitello from Knopf Automotive on the Lehigh Mile. We're talking about car buying. It's going to be a great show. I'm so excited because this is something, again, I've been wanting to do for years, to get a little input on the car buying decisions, because I just think that it is one of our biggest financial decisions, and not sure enough people are proactive about it. And as regular listeners, you know that I always say at the end of the show, be proactive, not reactive. So I like folks to do their homework ahead of time and plan for this. And then it can be a great experience throughout the life of you owning a car and being a car owner, or, you know, leasing, or however you might do it. So we're talking to Donato about some of the decisions that go into car buying. And we just talked about, you know, making sure you have the budget. So we're moving on from that now. We're assuming we know how much money we're going to be able to spend. And then we are going to talk about, my curious question was, does it really make a difference to wait to year end when the new models come out? So I want to talk about that a little bit. And then we're also going to talk about buying new, buying used, and leasing. But we do have a caller that just came in that has a question about leasing, I believe. So Kelly, are you on the air? Can you hear me?
Hi, yes.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Hi, Kelly.
Great.
Good. What's your question?
Well, I'm actually just a little curious as to what the main differences are between a short-term lease and a long-term lease, and what the benefits of each are.
So the differences between, because sorry, you cut out for just a second. So you want to know the main difference between a short-term lease and a long-term lease.
Correct.
And I didn't even know there was a short or a long, so Donato's going to fill us in.
Well,
okay.
The difference is, it's kind of in the name, a short-term and a long-term. With leasing, there's flexible options. You can literally do a one-year, two-year, three-year, four-year. You can even do a five-year lease if you like to.
Okay.
So that the phrase short-term would be like a one, two-year, and then there's an average lease would be 36 months, which is 3 years.
Okay.
So that's the difference between that. And you can... you can like customize leasing to your driving ability. Like how do you drive? How many miles do you drive? Do I want a new car 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, or 4 years from now? You also have to think, you know, warranty options. When does the warranty run out? So if it's only 3 years, 36,000 miles, then you kind of don't want to lease it longer than 3 years. So a shorter term would be better. But like our products have a 4-year, 50,000 mile warranty. So you can go to 4 years and still be covered under the warranty the whole time. So there's benefits to both.
So Kelly, short term, long term, it sounds like the decisions are more around their possible use or of the vehicle going forward, or if you're going to buy new. Kelly, do you have more questions now based on what Donato just said?
No, actually, that was perfect. I'm so glad that he's on this show. I've been trying to figure out the difference between, you know, which one would make more sense for me, as I only drive about 5 minutes one way to work every day, and you know, it's really light use. It sounds like a short-term lease would be great. So that was very helpful. Thank you so much.
Can you hang on for a second, Kelly, because now I have a follow-up question for Donato in this regard.
See what you started, Kelly?
Yeah. So there's options for short-term, long-term, but also different options you can get as far as, now you just mentioned warranty, but aren't there also options as to how many miles you plan to put on the car? So
absolutely.
When you just said something about 36,000 miles, that would be 12,000 miles a year for 3 years.
Yes.
So if Kelly is someone who's only driving to work back and forth, leasing might not even be the best option for her, possibly.
See, in my mind, leasing is a good option for almost everyone because they do have low mile leases. They have they have lease options that go as low as 7,500 miles a year. And with that, obviously, the least amount of miles you drive, they'll lower the payment. So now you can get a newer car, compared to a finance, at a lower payment and use it for what you're going to use it for.
Because typically leases are lower payments than buying.
They're always lower.
Okay. All right. Great. That's good cover on that. And I didn't realize. So when Kelly, just stay on for just 1 second, because it's interesting in the financial field, because I don't know cars, which is why I'm glad Donato's here. In the financial field, when we talk to people about like looking at long-term care policies, we say they're not all created equally, and there's all kinds of different bells and whistles, and you have to kind of almost make a chart and write down what you need and what you're using. So I would say that could apply for your analyzing what kind of lease would be best for you too. You want to look at your mileage and how you're using it, and then any penalties relating to going over or under or whatever. Okay, Kelly, thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Kelly.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. And I hope you both have a wonderful evening.
Thanks. You too. Good night.
Thanks.
Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Donato, it sounds like maybe leasing. I haven't leased a car, and I don't know if I ever leased a car, to tell you the truth, but my father used to, like, forever ago. Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like there's more options probably available in the leasing realm. And I know that we were going to talk about leasing a little bit later in the show, which we can, but just... We'll get to that, but is that true that there's probably more leasing options than there used to be 20 years ago?
There is a lot more options.
Okay.
Leasing has improved so much.
All right. So one of the things, going back to purchasing a new car, and we talked about, now we have determined that this person who's coming in for their car buying experience has, you know, looked at their budget and knows how much they can spend. I am curious as to, I've always heard, you know, like end of year models, like, so let's see, we're in 2014, so I would imagine they're trying to get the 2014 models that are still on the lot out of the way, so they're going to give everybody a deal because they have to make room for the 2015s or
yes.
something like that. Is that true? Do they? I'm asking, does it really make a difference to wait to year end when the new models come out? If you know,
does it make a difference to wait to year end for it? I wouldn't say so, because you know, when you want a new car, you want it and you want it. You know when you want it. No one wants to be told when to buy a car.
Okay.
So it's like, all right, I'm going to have to wait to the end of the year just so I can save a little bit more money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong. Now, you can definitely save more money with year-end items or vehicles. But it depends on a couple things, right? It also depends on, is there going to be model changes? So is the next year different from the previous year?
Like the iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah.
You can get the iPhone 4S for this much, or you can get the new one for this much.
Right?
But it all depends on what you're going to use it for as well. So if you're leasing the car, right, and you're going to take advantage of a lower payment because of the year-end pricing, yeah, fine. If you're going to buy the car and drive it for a couple years and then trade it in, not really, because the amount of money that you're going to save, you're going to lose in trade-in value.
Right, because now it's that older vehicle, right?
Exactly, exactly. Okay. But, you know, sometimes the amount that the savings, you know, that you have, it's not a huge, huge difference.
Okay.
Some manufacturers go really deep in incentive money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of different. It depends.
Okay.
You know, some manufacturers are different than others.
Okay.
So Some deals could be a difference of 1,000 or two, or 5 to 6. You just don't know.
Okay.
It's whatever the manufacturer decides to do.
All right. And I know that there's times, too, where there might be a car that was a lease vehicle that the dealership might be trying to get rid of, or maybe the owner had the car, which is the one we bought. So the owner of the dealership owned the car, and then we came in and bought it. But we can get into different little options like that. So people can play those games as to whether they're going to get better prices. Mm-hmm. But as you said, it'll affect then the car is that much year older. It's just like when you drive the car off the lot, it's already depreciated in value, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But so you should really buy the new car when it's right for you and you're ready for it.
Yes.
Okay, we're up for our next break, folks. If you have questions, give us a call. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Cindy called in, and Cindy, we're going to take your question as soon as we get back from the break. So we'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to WDIY, Community Public Radio for the Lehigh Valley. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I have in the studio with me this evening Donato Ciampitello from Knopf Automotive on the Lehigh Auto Mile. We're talking about car buying.
I love it.
It can be very exciting. I love the smell of new cars. But I quite often, we buy a new car and we buy a used car, which goes right into Cindy's question, which I think is very similar. And Cindy from Bethlehem called in and she said, my husband and I own one car outright and we recently leased another car. She said, is it smarter to wait for the owned car to die or better to trade it in and take on another payment? So I think what she's saying is if she waits till the car dies, if she goes to buy a new car and trades it in, you know, it's probably not going to have much value.
No.
But, or should she trade it in now while it still is operable and take on another payment? So that's kind of like a financial little piece to it, which I could chime in on as well. But maybe you, Donato, could comment. Oh, and then she also asked, could there be a cost benefit to not waiting? Because if she waits, what I would say, if she waited, and back to my little example about having money set aside each month for that car payment, mm-hmm. if their owned car right now, if they don't have any payments on it, but they know they want to buy one, let's say they're going to pay $500 a month for a new car, and they could get maybe 6 more months out of that car, then they would have 500 times 6 is $3,000. But if in 6 months their car is dead, would they have, you know, maybe had a $3,000 trade-in versus nothing? So that's probably some of the cost benefit. Can you talk about trade-ins and how that helps?
Absolutely. Cindy, to answer your question, you know the good old saying, there's no payment better than no payment. But you got to really think if you can afford another payment, if it's within your budget. That's where you start. Just like Lori said, you know, it's got to be affordable for you. And on the other thing, if you do wait, the value does depreciate more and more. Every time you step on that gas pedal, you're like, you know, throwing quarters out of the window. My advice to you would be, you know, if the car is going to eventually have problems, I would trade it in and, you know, get into something newer just because it's going to be more reliable. It's not going to leave you stranded. And you can, you know, you'll be able to get more money out of your trade-in than if it was dead and you have to take it to a scrapyard and get a couple $100 for it.
That's true. We just went through that. We're still trying to get rid of that scrappy old car that we have. Great. Thank you, Cindy, for calling in. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking about car buying. That car buying could be new car buying, used car buying, or pre-owned, as they say, or leasing. So we've talked a bit about affording it. We've made some good points around that. Donato, we also alluded to this earlier where when you said car buying and owning a car is a privilege, and we talked about there's other expenses related to that, like insurance and repairs, and you want to make sure that you're going to be able to not only afford your monthly car payment, but if something comes up with the vehicle, with maintenance, et cetera, that you're going to be able to afford it. So one of the things that some people will factor in, a new car might not have as much in repairs as an old car. And even to your example for Cindy, her car that's older, depending on where it is in its life, the repairs start getting more expensive and more often as we move further into the life of the car. So that's one thing with new cars. We expect or hope that there's not going to be a huge amount of repairs. Also, some cars have better or worse gas mileage, so we have to kind of factor in the cost of gas in our purchasing decision. So, and sometimes luxury cars have higher repair costs, so you want to make sure you factor that in as well. Do you talk to buyers when they come in about that as well? Like sometimes maybe there might be higher repairs or higher gas cost, or is that not something that really, I mean, it's not your job or your responsibility to talk about those peripheral costs for people, but does that come up when you're talking to people about buying cars?
It does with me when I work with my clients, because, for example, sometimes I get new buyers, and almost all the time, the new buyers never figure other costs to owning a vehicle. They see a payment. Oh, the payment's this. I can do that. They don't think about insurance. They don't think about, oil changes, service, maintenance. They don't think about, insurance and stuff like that as well. Inspections. There's just so much cost of driving. Even with no car payment, it probably averaged to about $100 to $150 a month just to drive a car.
Right.
That's not even including gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of the car insurance alone. Yeah. And tires, sometimes, eventually, those have to get replaced or, pay for rotating them and things like that. Mm-hmm. So you do sometimes bring that up when you're talking with folks.
Absolutely.
About the new car buying?
I mean, you have to, because if you give them surprises at the end, in my business, it's all about repeat business. It's all about making your client happy and being upfront with everything so they can make the right decision.
Okay, well, can we go into, the decision about leasing? Because, in fact, Kelly talked about leasing short-term, long-term, and then Cindy had mentioned that they own, and then they also have a car, that they lease. So someone comes in, they understand the budget, they understand the cost, and now they say, should I buy or should I lease? So how does someone make that decision? And earlier, you might have alluded to this too, when you said the leasing is a little bit less expensive option for people. So,
absolutely. Making the decision, it's, as long as you ask yourself the right questions, it could be easy. One, you got to ask yourself your budget. Are you paying cash? Are you making payments? Are you financing the vehicle? Two, how are you going to use the vehicle? How long are you going to keep your vehicle for? The vehicles that I represent, 65% of my customers lease. And believe it or not, it does, like you said, it does go up and down. You just don't know. But the way that the leases are right now, they're just, you can literally save hundreds a month and drive the same car.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I have mentioned to clients when they talk about, should they lease or should they buy, is I always felt like, well, if you at least owned the car, that you could always sell it if something happened. Let's say you had a job and you lost your job, and, if you owned the car, you could at least sell it and get out of that car payment. Whereas leases, I think you're kind of locked in for that term. So let's pretend someone gets into a 3-year lease and they're into it for 2 years and all of a sudden they lose their job. Is there any option or escape hatch that they could get out of a lease if they were now in a position that they could no longer afford that monthly payment. That's the fear I've always had with leases. Is there ever an option like that if you have a life change?
There is.
I didn't know.
There's so many more options now. You know, leases, yes, I mean, they changed and they're for the better.
Okay.
Now they say it's the way to buy a new car of today. You could get out of them just like a finance. Now, it's definitely different. If you own a car outright and it's cash and you have the title, yes, you can benefit from possibly selling your car, taking that money, and getting out of some hardship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if you're financing the car or leasing the car, those contracts are almost the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you miss a couple of payments on your finance, then you really see who owns the car, because it's not going to be in your driveway anymore. You know? Just like a lease. If you miss those payments too, guess what? They're going to take that car from you. And that's, the bank owns these cars.
Okay.
And, it really matters on your equity situation for the vehicle. That's how you're going to get out of this car. If you're in a finance and, the car's worth 10, you owe 15, guess what? You have negative equity. You have to pay that difference.
Okay.
If you're in a lease and your payoff is the same situation, it's the same thing. You have to pay that money to get out.
Okay. That's a good point. We're going to continue our discussion with Donato when we come back. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air or give your question to Judy Ann and she'll bring it in the studio. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY-FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking about car buying, and I have in the studio with me this evening Donato Ciampitello from Knopf Automotive on the Lehigh Auto Mile. So thank you, Donato, for being here and covering this subject that I've been so excited to cover.
Hello, listeners.
And folks, if you have questions this evening, you're welcome to give us a call. We love questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810, or through the website yourfinancialchoices.com, and we'll respond to that when we have a chance. But you're welcome to call in live while we're in the studio. And if you're not comfortable talking live, you can give your question to Judy Ann, and she will bring it into the studio, and we'll do our best to answer it. So we're talking about car buying. We're talking about new cars. We're talking about leasing. And by the time we get to the end of the show, hopefully we're going to cover talking about buying used as well. So right before the break, Donato, we were talking about leasing. Could we kind of give a summary now of the advantages of leasing versus car buying? And it depends always, folks, our listeners, I want you to know, it always depends on your own situation. So we're trying to give you some tools to educate you on your options for these various ways to own a vehicle. So mm-hmm. Let's talk about the advantages of leasing.
Lori, that comes up on our showroom floor almost every day. Whether do I finance? Do I lease? What is a lease? What does it do for me? How does it benefit me? I was in a lease before and it just wasn't for me. Leases changed. They're different now. Now they're filled with options. For example, different terms, different mileage. Okay. And you have more options with the car itself. Say you do a 2-3 year lease. You can come back in 3 years, throw the keys on my table and say, hey, I want a black one this time. Mm-hmm. All right. Or you say, hey, Donato, I love this car. I don't want to part with it. I'm going to buy it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or when your family members or friends can buy that car for the residual value that's set in by the manufacturer. Now, what I love about that is that you have no, you're not responsible for depreciation. There's a team that the manufacturers have to set these, residuals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in 3 years, if that car is worth what the residual is and it's an advantage for you to buy it, buy it.
Mm-hmm.
That equity, it's yours. you can have it. But if it doesn't, for some reason the market changes and they were incorrect, whose fault is not? It's not your fault. You give the key back and you start all over. Mm-hmm. That's why that's one thing I really love about it. It's also its fixed cost. You know what your payments are going to be, okay? Most of the time, you can put maintenance included in these leases, and they get residualized as well. So it's like almost paying 50% for your maintenance. Mm-hmm. On top of that, you get the newest and greatest technology. Mm-hmm. You're always in something new.
That's why my dad always leased. Yeah. You know, he was a business owner. And so when we were kids, he would lease at every. I think it was back then. Gosh, this was ages ago. It was like every couple of years he would get
absolutely,
a new
one. And you get something new. But you know, leasing is not for everyone. Uh-huh. It's not. It's for most of the people that you know that buy cars today. But it's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, if you like to change your car every couple of years. You know, some people like to drive a car for 6 months, 1 year. I see it all the time.
And some people like to drive them for 10 years. Yeah, so they're the ones who probably makes more sense to buy.
Exactly. Right. Because if you can say that I'm going to benefit, if I'm financing, I'm going to pay this car off in 5 years and I'm going to keep it till the wheels fall off. It's going to be 10 years and you're going to benefit from 5 years of not having payments. You are not a lease buyer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So. Advantages for leasing, and especially, you know, as I mentioned, my father was in business, so I bet you probably have a lot of business owners, probably like realtors and people like that, absolutely, who kind of have to go through new cars quite often. Mm-hmm. That, you know, and I remember now too, there were 6 kids in my family, so that could be why they leased. So when you talk about different terms, different options, so you can have a number of different years, a number of different miles, and then you also mentioned something about warranties earlier. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about a lease having a warranty, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a girl, the leasing, I've always thought, who pays for the repairs? Like when you're leasing, it's really, it is still kind of your car. You're in charge of the oil changes, mm-hmm, I would expect.
Yes.
You're in charge of the oil changes and regular maintenance and things like that. But when you mentioned a warranty, just like when someone buys a new car, mm-hmm, and they have it under warranty, if something goes awry with the car and it's under warranty, the dealership will fix it.
Yeah.
So that's the same thing with leases.
Absolutely.
Yes, but the regular maintenance is not normally covered, but you're saying even the leases even have some options these days where some of the maintenance might be covered.
Absolutely.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, they cover some of the costs.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you a question I just thought of that you might not know off the top of your head. Maybe you do. For insuring a car, when you go to get your auto insurance, does it matter if it's leased or owned? Is it the same kind of insurance coverage for,
It is full coverage. I mean, I'm not a licensed insurance agent, but I realize that once you lease a car, they do want like a minimum of liabilities and stuff like that. But even if you're financing the car, you know, the bank wants you to have full coverage too. They want to protect, you know, their car because literally it's theirs until you pay it off.
Right.
So it's pretty much the same type of coverage.
Okay. So we've talked about buying new. We've talked about leasing. Let's talk a little bit now about buying a pre-owned car or a used car. And you do have used cars as well?
We do.
Okay. So so you're aware of that and familiar with that. So
I don't call them used, though.
Okay, they're pre-owned?
Previously loved.
Oh, that's even a new one.
Them.
So we have with the old word was used, then we called them pre-owned. Now we're going to see previously loved. and I'm sure your cars were previously loved as well.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that a little bit. So, again, you often hear a new car depreciates as soon as you drive off the lot. So buying a used car could be a good deal for some people. So as I mentioned earlier, though, sometimes you have to be ready for repairs on a used car, and you still might have an issue on financing because the financing for a used car might be different than a new car. If you can talk about that for a minute, we can do that too.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about buying a used car. What kind of goes into that decision making?
Well, buying a pre-owned car is...
Oh, sorry, you keep saying... Yeah, pre-loved.
Previously loved.
Okay.
Pre-owned. Used. That word is so bad. Like, as far as financing a pre-owned used car, you know, a previously loved car, it's not harder. You know, the only difference is the interest rate might be a little higher on a pre-owned car than it will on a new car.
Okay.
You know, but they do have other options. Like if I were to purchase a pre-owned car, if I couldn't afford a brand new car and I had to be the owner of a car, I loved it so much, I had to own it, I couldn't lease it, it had to be in my driveway for as long as I wanted it, but I couldn't afford a new car, what I would do, I would buy a certified pre-owned car from the manufacturer's dealership. And the only way, you can see certified signs anywhere, but the only way a car can be certified is if you own the franchise of that make and manufacturer.
Oh.
So a certified sign doesn't mean it's necessarily certified.
I'm going to want to talk about that.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, keep talking, and then I'm going to come back to that.
They're called CPOs, certified pre-owned vehicles.
Okay.
Most of the time, they offer low interest rates. They offer sometimes even a better warranty than a new car. For example, we have certified pre-owned cars from Mercedes. They give you 1 year and unlimited miles on top of that. So if you're that real estate agent or you're that insurance agent or anybody that's driving 25, 30, 40,000 miles a year, my heart goes out to you because that's a lot of miles. But if that happens, you can literally buy a car and you can put 70,000 miles. You can sleep, eat, you can do everything you want in this car and drive and have a warranty on it. It's certified pre-owned is definitely the way to go if you're going to go pre-owned, if that's within your budget. Then you go under certified pre-owned if you go into a little older car.
Can you hold on a second? Because sure. I want to go back to certified for a second before you move on to the non-certified. Mm-hmm. So the certified, you mentioned that it had to be from, it only gets that certified designation if it's associated with that manufacturer.
Yes.
If the dealership is associated with that manufacturer.
Correct.
So, X brand, X manufacturer. So the little auto lot on the corner isn't going to have a certified pre-owned
Absolutely
car, right?
Not.
Okay. All right. So we have that certified. Then you mentioned that some of those certified pre-owned cars will have possibly a warranty.
Oh, yeah. They definitely have a warranty.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, in your example, though, that you're getting excited about, you said, you could drive 40,000, 50,000, 60,000 miles for that year. That would be if that particular certified card had that particular warranty that said unlimited miles for the year.
Yes.
But there might be some pre-owned ones that don't have that particular
Correct.
Warranty,
Correct.
Right? So it might be 50,000. So
Correct.
It depends. So even, when we're talking about options, we're talking about options in buying, we're talking about options in leasing, and now you're saying there's even options on certified pre-owned vehicles.
There's options for everything.
Gosh. This is why people need to do a little Excel spreadsheet or have a chart so that they understand what they're getting when they're going in to make these purchases, which is why I wanted to do the show so that people can kind of think through and be aware so that they don't, it's like impulse shopping. You drive by the car dealership, you see the pretty cars sparkling, and you go in and next thing you know, you're buying one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
nothing wrong with that, though.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Well, today I was thinking you probably could have had a lot of car sales because everyone was trying to get in from the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Let me mention the phone number one more time because I forget to mention it sometimes. Folks, if you have questions about any of this tonight, it's a great opportunity to call. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. If you have questions, you can call in and ask live on air or off air. Just give your question to Judy Ann and she'll bring it into the studio. So now I understand a certified pre-owned and that they usually come with warranties.
They do.
And that is an option possibly for someone who might want to buy new but couldn't quite afford new. This could be a good option for
yes.
them.
Okay. The certified cards, the next best thing to being new. They try to make it as close to new condition as possible.
Okay.
Not everybody has an unlimited mile warranty. That's only for a pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
Okay.
For example, a certified pre-owned Audi, they have a 2-year 100,000 miles on top of the factory warranty.
Okay.
So that comes from the in-service date. So it all depends on when the vehicle first came out of production, when it was first registered or titled to somebody.
Right.
That's when the factory warranty kicks in. And then usually the certified pre-owned warranties kick on after that expires.
Okay. All right. So good. Then we are going to talk a little bit about that there are used cars that might not be certified. Now, you could have a car that's not certified that's used at a dealership that's affiliated with that, but it might be too far out of date.
Yeah, because they put restrictions on it.
Right, because you could still, you know, they're gonna, you know, hedge their bets when a car might be 4 years old and certified pre-owned versus 8 years old.
Yeah, plus, okay, they have to pass an inspection.
Okay, in order to be certified. Absolutely. Under that. Okay, so let's talk about that. What kind of risk might we run with a car that's not certified? We might not have a warranty. And it's kind of, you're just buying like as is.
There's always a risk, mm-hmm. You know. Vehicles, they're machines. Machines break. You don't know. If I knew when a machine was going to break, I would be a lot wealthier than I am. You know, you just really don't know. And of course, not everybody can afford a new car. Not everybody can afford a certified pre-owned car. Right. Not everybody can afford a $10,000 car. Some people can't even buy a $500 car. You know, it's just how life is,
right.
You know, so you try to get the best car for what you can afford.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always going to be problems. You just don't know. With an older vehicle, there's, you know, as long as it was maintained and stuff like that, you can get lucky. You could drive a car for 2 years and not have one issue.
Right.
You can just buy a car and have an issue. You just don't know. Unfortunately, the only thing that you can do, it's a gamble.
Well, and you plan for it. So if you are buying a used older car and you're getting a deal on it, mm-hmm. that means you, when we talk about making sure you have the budget to afford, whether it's a new car or a used car, a new car, you have to plan for maybe the higher insurance costs, maybe the higher financing. The used cars, you might have to plan for higher repairs. Folks, we have our last break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion about used cars. And if you have any questions about new cars or buying, again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're tuned to WDIY Allentown, your NPR station in the Lehigh Valley. And now back to your financial choices. And Lori Siebert.
Thank you, John. Folks, if you have questions this evening, we still have time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We did have a couple questions come in off air, so we're going to see if we can answer those. I do have in the studio with me this evening Donato Ciampitello from Knopf Automotive on the Lehigh Auto Mile, and he was gracious enough to come in and talk about cars. I've been wanting to do this for years, so I thank him for doing that.
It was a pleasure.
We had Jeff call in. And he asked, if you are the type to drive a car until the doors fall off. I've done that sometimes, Jeff, and I'll talk about that in a second. Let me finish his question. No, let me throw in what I wanted to say. My husband and I will buy we'll have older cars that we run forever, but then we also always try to have a newer car because we drive a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the decisions, one of the pieces of our decision making is we always want to have a car that we know is going to be reliable.
Absolutely.
Because we have so much travel that we do so much. So we usually will have like really old cars and then we'll have like one newer car. So let me get back to Jeff's questions. So if you're the type to drive a car until the doors fall off, when is the right point to get a new car? And when considering repairs and other costs, at what point do you know it's the right time? Do you want to take a stab at that, Donato?
Absolutely. When considering repairs and other costs, you ask yourself, at what point is the right time? It's like the answer is kind of in the question. You can only answer your own question because you have to say, am I tired of putting money into this car that's not worth it? That good old question. How much is this going to cost me? The car's not worth it. It's like once you feel that you just keep putting money in, it turns into kind of like a money pit, that's when you know it's time. You know, cars get tired, they get old, they get expensive. And if the car's not running 100%, it could jeopardize your safety as well. You know,
I think, you know what, that's actually a good point, and that was one thing I did want to talk about and thread through the show earlier, and I failed to mention it, about safety,
mm-hmm.
because I do like when people kind of, you know, because I think the cost of cars is so much that if you can kind of delay it you know, and take advantage of owning a car for a while, save up that money, you know, use that for your down payment later, use that for your emergency reserve, or use that for those repairs that you're going to have on that car. That's one thing. But safety is a big issue. And it one is. Of the things I'm feeling, Donato, as we get older, and I'm getting older, and I have clients who are older, safety becomes a big concern as far as I'm concerned. As far as when you look at these older cars, sometimes they might not be up to the same standards on new cars, like with airbags.
Yeah, you're talking years difference. I mean, some of these cars that are on the road just shouldn't be on the road.
Yeah.
You know, because not only are you jeopardizing your own safety, what about the other people? What about somebody walking? What about somebody driving? You know, you got to not only look out for yourself, but other people too.
Because it's not just airbags that factor into the safety? Are we talking like brakes and things like that?
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, cars getting old, rusting, rotting out. You know, you're talking like major pieces possibly could break at any time. And think about it. If you're in this car that you just don't know if it's reliable or not, like I said, it's a machine, so you don't know. Any car can break. But if you got a car that's 15 years old, the chances of you breaking down on a highway or something breaking while you're doing 65 miles per hour is higher than if it's a newer car.
Yeah.
You know, so then you got to think about that. You know, hey, I'm in this 15-year-old car. You know, I'm not making a payment, but something just broken. Oh, now I'm swerving over to the other lanes trying to get over to the side.
Yeah, you know, I was driving behind a gentleman whose tire blew out driving down the highway at like 70 miles an hour, and he did like S-curves like for quite a while. You know, he was going like swerving, and he was lucky no one was around him.
That must have been scary.
Because he must have been a young driver who didn't know how to control the vehicle, you know, when the tire blew. So it was quite scary. And in fact, today there was a car that was broken down on Shanersville Road, which is two lanes, so we kind of were able to get around them. But if you come up on a car like that, it could be a little scary. So, Jeff, I thank you for your call. I guess it's probably kind of a little bit of a personal thing when you start noticing the repairs. One of the things that my husband and I have always done when we find that the vehicles are needing repairs or extensive repairs, we will actually ask the mechanic, is this worth it? Do you think it's worth it? If we do this, you know, $3,000 repair, instead of buying a new car, if we did this $3,000 repair, how many more months of, you know, use am I going to get out of the car? And if it doesn't look like it's going to get us that much more use, then it's time to put it to bed and kind of move into a new car. So that's one thing we've done, and we usually rely on the mechanics.
You have to trust the mechanic too, because if he says it's not worth it, then he doesn't have a $3,000 job to do.
Right, there you go. We had another call come in from Ron, and he said, "Can I get a lease if I need to drive 20,000 miles a year?" He said, and then let's answer that first, because then he had a great follow-up. Follow-up question.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can get leases as low as 75 and as high as 20. And you can even get higher than, you know, 20,000 miles if you want to. I can speak for my brand. You know, I unfortunately don't, you know other manufacturers. And but yes, for our vehicles, you can go as high as 20,000 miles. And if you do go over, there's a small penalty. It's about like, you know, for my cars, it's about 25 cents a mile if you do go over.
Okay.
And I worked out the math. Like sometimes if you prepay your miles, it probably works out to be like 18 to 20 cents. And the penalty is 25. So if you happen to go over, it's only maybe a couple cent difference if you prepaid or it's a penalty.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. Now, his follow-up question, which I liked, was if I get in an accident, and this is on a leased vehicle, and the car is totaled, and I owe more than my insurance value, is there any kind of insurance through the lease?
That is a really, really good question. There actually is. I can only speak for the
your own brand,
yeah,
right?
My brands. All our leases, gap insurance is included. Gap insurance covers that gap between what the car is worth and what you owe to the bank. So, for example, if you owe $40,000 and the insurance company says it's worth $35,000, you're responsible for that gap if you don't have gap insurance. Our leases provide gap insurance.
For a little cost, probably, right?
Included.
No. Oh, okay.
It's all included. There's no cost for it.
Okay. So, folks who are listening, this is particular to the brand where Donato is, which are, you know, more luxury cars. But what's wonderful about this show tonight, too, is the education that when you are considering a lease, you now know that you can ask these kinds of questions, because Ron just asked this great question. I loved that about the, I had not heard of gap insurance for leasing, so that's good to know. And I don't know if we have any more time for questions, but if someone calls like in the next minute, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Oh, someone did. We have a question from Olin. Love that name.
That's a nice name.
And he asked, why does buying a new car have to be such an adversarial experience? What can you do to get around going through that? Now, that's interesting. So Olin's experience may have been adversarial. Some folks might not have that same experience, but maybe you could address from your 16 years of experience, Donato, what he might be referring to as being an adversarial experience. And let me just say, because I'm not, you know, in this business, I could say maybe what happens is, you know, as car buyers, we walk in and we just kind of want to be given the straight deal. So maybe adversarial, maybe what Olin's referring to is, you know, is there game playing or not? You say, oh, overbook, over, you know, again, I don't know about cars, but, you know, some people will say, what did they say? Over the, what is that? Oh, I don't even know. You yes. can answer his questions.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody's experience is different. Okay. Every sales representative is different, you know? So that's why I believe that you don't really look for the right car. You look for the right person to spend your money with, that you feel comfortable with. Okay. My clients, I do my best to get them the best deal that's possible. And I keep it fun and easy. That's how it should be. You know, mm-hmm. Buying a car should be fun. You know, sometimes people walk in and they have their guard up and they're just straight mean because they had a bad experience somewhere else. But it's okay. I can handle that because, you know, I'm Italian and I've been used to stuff like that. But unfortunately, that is how the business is. You know, everybody's in business to make a profit. All right. For example, if you would walk into a grocery store and all those products that you were buying, the $4 gallon of milk, if that was negotiable, those cashiers would be vicious.
Oh, yeah. I see
right?
what you're saying,
because
right. everyone's going to be trying to negotiate
with
course,
them. Of course. And, you know, a good deal, it's a state of mind. It's what you believe a good deal is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so even when you have the best deal, some people don't know it, you know? So it's, you just don't know. That's why you have to find the right person that makes you comfortable. And there's so many tools out there. I mean, it's not the old days. The internet's there. You know how much these cars are worth, you know? Some resources are accurate, some aren't. But you know what? It gives you some type of idea, you know? And as long as you set a price within, you know, a realistic price range of what you can buy the car for, hopefully you should get it done.
Okay, because there is so much information out there. So maybe it's changing, Olin. Maybe it's not going to be as adversarial as it used to be because there is so much information out there and people can kind of do their homework.
Absolutely.
And you also probably want to go where you're going to be comfortable with the people who are servicing the vehicle, and are they going to follow up with you and, you know, make sure you've had a good experience, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of keep it not adversarial, one of the things you might suggest then, Donato, is for someone to kind of go in a little bit more open rather than closed and expecting that it's going to be bad.
Exactly.
Just kind of go in and try to be open.
Just be upfront. Just yeah. tell them what you want to pay for the car. And if you can get it done, if it can happen, believe me, they're not going to let you leave if they could do that deal. But you have to be realistic. I mean, everybody has markup and everybody has to make a profit. You know, people are in business to make a profit. Why should you buy something from somebody and not make a profit? Everybody goes to work
right.
to make a living.
Right.
You know, so does the owner, so does the representative, so do the managers, so do the service writers. There's bills, you know. You
yeah.
won't believe how much an electric bill is for a dealership. They
right.
got to make money, because if not.
And you guys are all there probably day in and day out.
Absolutely.
As well. And there was something I was going to say about, and used cars. Let me just throw out, too, used cars, a lot of folks can get Carfax now, which years ago no one knew what the car had been through.
Absolutely.
So that's something folks should ask for if they're going to look at a used car to see if there's something on that
they,
as well. Right?
Honestly, they shouldn't have to ask. It should be presented
okay.
to them.
All right. So lots of information out there for everyone. I hope that the show covered a lot of the information that that's going to be helpful to people
if
in their
not,
car
I'll come
buying.
Back.
Yeah, we can do more. Let me see if there was anything else I wanted to get through, I guess each decision in car buying is going to be a personal decision, whether you're buying, leasing, or buying pre-loved cars. Just make sure you do your homework ahead of time, put it on a little chart, figure out what your needs are over someone else's, because your situation could be very different, so that when you walk into the dealership, whatever dealership it is, when you walk in, you're informed and you kind of know the answers to the questions that the salesperson might give you. So, Donato, if people wanted to reach you, what is your number? How do they reach you?
They can reach me on my direct number, which is 862-201-1404. And you can also email me at donato@knopfauto.com. That's D-O-N-A-T-O at knopf, K-N-O-P-F, auto.com.
Okay. Donato, thanks so much for being here.
Thank
I
you
really
for
appreciate
me.
It. Folks, next week we are going to have a pre-recorded show, so I am not sure what that topic is going to be yet. We will put one together and we will send it out to our WDIY members who have joined. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.